Jaco Buyenz is a native of South Africa, an American citizen, diversified entrepreneur, and a guy who never stops moving. After Eden Pictures is his film production studio. He's the president and CEO there. He's the founder of Share Together, a nonprofit organization that fights against the global crisis of sex trafficking, and directed and produced a movie called 8 Days. We'll talk more about that in a second. His wife wrote it. And your mission in life, in no small part, Jaco, is to stop sex trafficking in our time. And I thank you for that work.
Thank you. And thank you for joining me in that fight, for having me in studio and for today.
All right. So, Jaco,
having me on this podcast with you.
Yeah. And Jaco, tell people how you came to this, because the tragedy hit your own family.
Yeah. It's personal. You know, I love it when people join the fight because they get passionate about it. We didn't really have a choice. And of course, we are passionate about it. My sister was trafficked. And so we were raised by a single mom, amazing woman, two brothers, and a sister. And when that happens to your sister, then you're in the middle of it, you know, whether you like it or not. And then you realize how prevalent it is, unfortunately, here in the U.S. And by nature, you don't want another human being to go through what your sister went through or what the family went through. So there's a great understanding in our family from all angles, right? Having a family member go through this, but also fighting it to prevent anyone else in this country or in the world being exposed to this, you know, or falling victim.
And let's talk about how prevalent it is. For instance, you could use Chicago as an example.
Yeah. You know, it saddens me every time, and I do this probably four or five of these seminars a week, you know, and it saddens me that we are the leading nation at commercializing sex with children on the planet. No question about it. Now, there are other nations where there may be more cases. In some of these countries, it's not even against the law. If you think of the Middle East, where women's rights are non-existent, and where, you know, having sexual, you know, interaction with young girls is not frowned upon. And so those cases aren't even reported. But the United States has done a really, really good job at commercializing it, to turning it into a for-profit business, and we're leading the world. And so it's an epidemic. It's a silent epidemic in this country, because those that can actually make a difference seem to aid and abet and not want to really take this thing head on and kill it once and for all.
And this is not something that's economic specific, right? I mean, this is rich folks and folks down the street. You could know someone who's involved in this.
Absolutely. This crime, it's not a respecter of men. It doesn't care about your race, gender, class, social status. It just doesn't. Every single young child in this country, and I'm not fear-mongering here, this is just a fact. Every child at some point or the other is a potential target, a potential victim, because these guys that profile are excellent at what they're doing. And unfortunately, the buyer, I don't like to use the word John, the industry uses the word John, but I know a lot of guys that named John that are good guys. So the buyer of sex with children, and that's what we're talking about here today. We're talking about the sexual exploitation of minors under 18.
Right.
On average, 12 in the U.S., so 12-year-olds, get that picture in your mind, a 12-year-old being forced to have sex with men north of 10 times a day, right, against the child's will, of course. This is sickness. This is a sickness that is at epic proportions in this country, and then there's a huge demand. Now, the average buyer that buys sex from a child is a Caucasian male, north of 30, between 30 and 37, and earns north of $100,000 a year. So it is a white-collar crime. Now, of course, it's not just a Caucasian male, but on average, that's the buyer. And on average, 90% girls, but 10% give or take, it swings a little every year, boys that are sold for sex. So we're looking at young girls, men that are stable, family men, married, good jobs. It's an epidemic, and so when we have a crime like that running loose in the country, and I mean it is running rampant, the only way that happens, Steve, is if it's assisted. It's if games are being played behind the scenes politically. You know, certain people get touched, others don't. They love going after the pimp, right? They love going after what we call the bottom girls, normally two women between the pimp and the child.
Right.
Two women that are the handlers. Most of the arrests are the handlers, most of them. The pimps are normally a layer away, but the organizers of this crime, because it is organized, it is severely organized, they sit free, and they fund it, and they organize it. It's structured. It's so structured that cartels south of the border are switching from running drugs across the border to running children, because it is safer to traffic children than it is to traffic drugs.
And the money that changes hands here has to make it a profit center, or the business model would die, right?
Correct. If I so let's go after demand. Of course, we're going after the supply. Of course, but supply meets demand. If we do not tackle demand in this country, men that are willing to pay for this, you know, supply will always be there. You know, unless we really go after those who pay. But to give an example, I told you in studio, $200,000 to $250,000 a year is what one child brings tax-free. If you think about that for a second, this is lucrative. I mean, this is real business. You could do a half to a quarter, three-quarters of $1 million of dollars as a trafficker, three children. I mean, it's serious business. And because there's so much money to be made, it runs all the way up the flagpole. All the way up.
This
thing has tentacles.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
This thing has tentacles into law enforcement, into the school, the judicial system, politics. I mean, it's ugly. Unfortunately, it's very ugly. And because some of those names higher up, some of the organizers and those who truly benefit financially, because obviously the children do not benefit financially. Those who really benefit financially, they keep this thing silent, and it's protected 100%.
So this predilection to pedophilia is a sickness and a perversion that I can't wrap my head around. And I, you know, it makes me personally very, viscerally angry. And, you know, the idea that it is at a level that it's at, and you're one of the few people talking about it, makes me even madder. Why can't we get more traction on this topic?
I told you a quick story. I think that I refresh my memory if I didn't, but I'm going to tell it again. So if I'm redundant, I apologize. But, you know, we had a sting operation planned with a very well-known television series, a segment. And we had the local mayor, the local police chief involved, local FBI, a special response team with ICE, with Homeland Security. And we had a list of these buyers that we were profiling over a six-month period. And that list was sent to a mayor's office. And that mayor canceled that sting operation 2 days before the operation because of the names on the list. Certain people in this country are being protected carte blanche. And there's things that they can do to our children. It's one thing if you want to do it politically and you want to fight a battle on the Second Amendment or on the wall, on the border, that's fine. But when you start touching our children in this country, all children, this thing is not a political issue. Okay, this is not left, right, center of the aisle. This is our children. I don't care, red, blue, black, pink, it doesn't matter. Every single child is a minority and is weak in that sense. They're defenseless. We've got to protect them. Unfortunately, these names on the list are being protected better than our children. And that's why the district attorneys are afraid to take some of these buyers on. They'll take on the pimp. They'll take on the bottom girls because they don't have higher-ups protecting them. It's an easier case to prosecute. But when you start tapping a guy that's a CFO of a Fortune 500 company, now you're going to disrupt some stuff. I mean, there's bad press. There's stock that's going to be influenced. I mean, it's an adverse, you know, news article for an organization or a community or a social leader or someone that's on the, you know, Parent Teachers Association or the principal of the school or the pediatrician. You know, you start tapping those guys, now you're affecting this secondary, tertiary effects. They won't touch them. They stay away from those guys because of the impact. And I don't care. I don't care if it's the head of the largest Fortune 500 company in the country. If you mess with children sexually, you got to go away. And that corporation will have to deal with the ramifications, but you've got to go.
So is this rich guys being able to buy the best attorneys who are willing to take these cases and get these guys off? Now, I mean, the obvious lightning rod case now is this Jeffrey Epstein, a allegedly brilliant hedge fund manager who's one of the sickest, most twisted guys you could come across, who has basically been running a sex slave operation for 30 years, 40 years, you know, his entire adult life, certainly, that may or may not involve Bill Clinton, may or may not involve Donald Trump, may or may not involve Alan Dershowitz. And right now is the center of a controversy because the Miami lead prosecutor in the case let him walk on a wrist slap.
You just said wrist slap, right? The last two buyers that cases or situations I was personally involved with, the guys walked for $130 to $150 fine. A wrist slap. We're in states where the law mandates up to 30 years jail time. It's not that we don't have the law, Steve. We used to not. When I started fighting this thing 11 years ago in the U.S., sex trafficking wasn't even. People looked at you like you were crazy when you said the word. Nobody, there was nothing. 48 of the 50 states at that time prosecuted the child as a criminal. That's how bad it was. We've come a long way now. They're victims. They've been protected. But what is a law if you don't enforce it? Zero. It means nothing. What is a law if the law says this guy that has sex with a child and buys it over and over should go in for 30 years and then he walks 2 days, bond, $150, slap on the wrist, in a state where the law mandates 30 years. Now, the pimp, oh, he's sinning. And the bottom girls, they pay. Sure, they're getting there. And this is why I'm saying we're going after, it's time to start putting our sights on the guys behind the scenes. This is the puppeteers, not the puppets, the ones pulling the strings. And that thing is like an Epstein, and his guys above Epstein. We've known about Epstein for two decades. We have fought the Epstein fight in the community, in the anti-sex trafficking community, for two decades. Finally, they're coming around. Finally, we're seeing some of these things happen. But this thing is ugly. Now, of course, we're not just talking about, runaways. Foster care system, we got to tackle. That thing is a complete cluster, okay? But a lot of these children are being trafficked while living at home because it is coercion. Parents trafficking their own children, getting involved in these rings because it's so profitable. One of the young women we rescued recently, was fully convinced, only 13 years old, but was fully convinced for the last 4 years her dad had sold her for sex to the city, councilman, the mayor, the school principal, and she was convinced it was how she was going to pay for her college fund. Because you can actually convince a human being. You can break the human spirit, and you can convince a child that this is normal. Other children are doing it too. They just don't talk about it like you don't talk about it. So it's sick. And this is not something where you can walk into a mall and look at a child and know what's happening. As a canine can walk up to a guy and go, he's got cocaine on him, or he's got marijuana in him, or they can smell and trace contraband. This is a very difficult crime to fight. We shouldn't make it more difficult by when we do get a guy, letting him walk for $150 and a slap on the
wrist. Well, I mean, we've talked about the perpetrators. We've talked about the lawyers that protect them. We've talked about the network that protects them. We haven't talked about the judges, because judges have latitude in these cases where they don't have to when they're rightfully and hopefully appalled by a situation like this, allow somebody to walk. So how complicit are judges in this?
Two things are happening, Stephen. One of them you're helping solve, right? Misunderstanding of what is child sex trafficking, number one. It's not prostitution. Cannot look at it as prostitution. You can't try it in the courtroom as prostitution because it's not. It's an 8, 19, 12-year-old kid. It's a child, right? So there's prostitution out the window, but they still approach it this way. So there's a lack of education, believe it or not, in our police departments. These guys in police college are not being trained. The judges and the lawyers, Harvard Law today, you think they're training at Harvard Law today? And I'm just picking Harvard because it's a great law program. You think they're training these guys on what coercion in sex trafficking looks like? Absolutely not. They tackle prostitution. These guys are under-equipped on how to handle it. And if they are, I've literally had judges, one-on-one, judges tell me it's prostitution, justifying it as prostitution. So now this changes the whole landscape. You're not going to get a proper outcome in that situation when it's a 10-year-old child. The child is not going to get a proper outcome. And then I've had judges tell me, I'm not taking that case because we're a jury state. The jury doesn't know the difference between prostitution and child sex trafficking. So I'm telling my DAs, we're not taking the buyers. Go after the pimp.
But that's like taking a guy who's bleeding out and giving him a Band-Aid.
Correct. Correct.
So what is the life expectancy? What is the life expectancy of a kid that's victimized by this? I mean, because obviously all the kids don't get out, all the kids don't get rescued, and eventually they're going to age out of this. But did they survive that long?
7 years. That is the average in the United States. 7 years is the average, and a lot of the, you can imagine. I mean, you're dealing with everything here. You're dealing with emotional trauma, moral trauma, PTSD. You're dealing with STDs. You're dealing with, overdose, massive amounts of overdose because they drug these kids. It's alcohol or it's, meth, whatever's cheap on the street, or heroin. They're drugged. They are emotionally completely messed up. They've lost purpose. They've lost hope. They're surviving. They're in a survival mode. And unfortunately, what happened to my sister, I'll tell you this, they started threatening the family because my sister's strong. So if they see that the kid is strong, that the kid is a fighter, then they'll start going after the family. And what they did to my sister is they said, oh, your youngest brother, this is where he goes to school. He's next. And in a heartbeat, my sister went from being a victim to someone protecting, false thinking, but protecting her brother. The attitude of do it to me, not to them. This is what they do to these children. And you could sign us. Look, we are throwing our arms up on the Me Too movement when it is wrong, absolutely despicable. No woman should ever be touched. But women that were sexually harassed 30 years ago, that now only speaks. Imagine, that was so traumatic, she couldn't speak for 30 years, right? And then we throw our arms up and go, help her, help her. But we've got children sold for sex every day, multiple times a day, in the hands of savages. And I cannot get, to date, a national, this is not cool, attitude from this country. You know what I'm getting? I'm fighting other battles. Now I'm fighting the legalization of pedophilia in some states. It's going the wrong direction.
Yeah, who is legalizing pedophilia?
There's a big movement in Oregon to the point where I'm talking about, and I'll send you this, I want to send you this, I'm talking about posters on flagpoles. And the slogan is, love is love and people are people, right? And it's a grown man holding the hand of a child with the insinuation of, listen, sex is sex. I can choose who I want to sleep with. And that's a strong movement. There's a strong movement at the moment.
We used to be disgusted by an organization called NAMBLA, the National American Man-Boy Love Association, or something along that line. That was the acronym.
Yep, yep.
But I thought that was it. I mean, the idea that this could be a political movement. All right, let's get to the movie. 8 days is the movie. What do you accomplish in the movie, or what do you hope to?
This film is a culmination of 5 different trafficking events, 2 stories, all of them, of course, names have changed, locations, all that. But it's not a documentary, and it's depicted in fiction, but it's reality. It's a feature film. And what we wanted to accomplish with this film is I want every aspect of the industry to be real in front of your face so that it can impact you. It's just a disturbing film to watch. It's supposed to disturb you. This issue is supposed to disturb you. So when you watch this film, you leave going, I can't believe this is happening in this country, but it is, and we got to stop it. And so you see it from the victim's eyes. You hear her thoughts. You see what the pimps are doing, what the buyers, the perpetrators are doing. You see a number of cases of trafficking, but we feature one, Amber is the girl in the film. We feature her and her story most closely on how she's taken and 8 days later gets recovered, which is very rare. And still, the amount of trauma and damage that that child went through in 8 days, 54 men in 8 days, 54. What she went through. And thankfully, she was found and rescued. So you see it soup to nuts. You see it from the parents' perspective. You see it from law enforcement's perspective. So we wanted to make sure that we were authentic. We did not embellish or take away. It lives the way it is in the industry, and it's become a tool, thankfully, that we've now seen law enforcement agencies around the world are training on by watching this film. I'm actually screening it tomorrow night at a conference in Carolina, because it's a way for us to show people this is what it looks like. That's the lingo, the language they use. This is how they get trapped, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a great training tool, but it's also a great awareness tool for parents to watch and then know what the wolf looks like.
It's one of a number of ways that you can help by spreading the word on 8 Days, the movie. You can go to 8daysfilm.org. You can find out if you can screen it for your own organization, but certainly spread the word and make sure people see it. Jaco Bouyens is here. His book, It Starts With Women, is available for pre-order, as is the book Sex Nation, right? Both are available?
Yeah, It Starts With Women is really about what happens when we start rightfully exhorting and lifting women up in our society, you know, because they are the ones mostly attacked in this crime. And then Sex Nation is a very unfiltered, of course, not explicit, but unfiltered, no punches pulled, raw pulse check that we have become a sex nation. We are using now, most recently last week, we're now using sex to sell paper towel. I mean, we're using sex to sell everything, and unfortunately, the guys that are sick, that are into this, and the women that are sick, that need help and can be rehabilitated, but those that need help, they go for children. So those two books are...
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just nauseating. And we talked about this when we were in, you know, people don't want to be uncomfortable. This is an issue you cannot turn away from. If you have any knowledge of this going on at anywhere in your life, you call the authorities, you do it today. And then you consistently call to find out what happened with your phone call. If you want to be anonymous, there's not a police station in the country that won't allow you to do that. But you cannot walk away from a situation like this and the scourge that it is. The main thing we can tell you is there's no magic bullet, but there is the power of your vote. And there's the power of forcing your community to be better about this, including Chicago. Lawmakers have to pass laws to do this. It's not just going out and voting. It's demanding that they pass laws to do this and not allowing them to put it on the back burner, not allowing them to make it a second-tier issue. Every politician, and I know a lot of them that I speak to, they'll tell you they respond to phone calls and they respond to pressure, email pressure. They don't respond to silence. Don't allow that to happen, because there's well-meaning politicians that are out there as well who have no more knowledge of this than any of you had prior to this podcast or I had prior to talking to Jaco Bouyens. And that's really the key. We don't need to just spread the word about how bad it is. We need to spread the word to those who pass the laws to make sure these buyers go away forever.
That's right, Steve. We need to start holding these elected officials accountable. Just do your job. And no favoritism. You cannot show a guy favoritism because of his social status or the zip code he lives in, you know, or the circles he runs in. Just do your job. And so I'm asking police chiefs, the DAs, the judges. The law's there. We only got two states we're still trying to reform the law. The law now exists. Just execute it. If a man or a woman abuses a child, they've got to be removed from society. Now, yes, I'll say this. They can be rehabilitated. I believe that. I do. But they cannot be aided and abetted, because you know what happens. I mean, it's like raising children. When you encourage and endorse bad behavior, why would it stop? You let a guy walk for $150 a slap on the wrist, why would he ever? I mean, you're encouraging, you're emboldening this guy, you know, to go after children. And this is what happens with Weinstein and Epstein. These guys were emboldened because nobody would talk. And it went on for decades. And those are two people we're highlighting. We're talking about thousands of these men in this country. At any given day, up to 300,000 children in this country, and again, I'm not trying to throw numbers to shock people, it's just the reality, up to 300,000 kids a day are being victimized by this crime.
It's just unbelievably nauseating, as I said before. And Jeffrey Epstein is the most convenient news-making example of this, but you don't have to be a billionaire to get away with this. Because there are people with any measure of small network influence who are doing the same. But I'm here to tell you, the standing labor secretary of the United States is a man named Alexander Acosta. He was a big deal prosecutor in Miami. He allowed Jeffrey Epstein to walk in a deal that included essentially probation, a very, very, very light prison term in a minimum security prison, and he did not even have to register as a sex offender. It's wrong on every level, and that's just one of those touchstones that you have to go, well, if that's going on, yeah, it's got to be stopped. So don't look away. Look at it and help us end it.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Look, and I've had people tell me, don't tell me, because if I know I'm going to have to do something about it, well, now you know. And it's really simple for me. There's no gray area here. You fight against the sexual exploitation of children, or you are one that's aiding and abetting.
It's what you just said. I mean, what could be easier than that? What's more black and white than children shouldn't be sexually exploited? Who could argue with that?
Yeah, unfortunately, you have those that do. And there's a look, the other movement, you know, the notion that if you decriminalize prostitution, you know, that solves prostitution. Keep that north of 18-year-old argument separate, okay? Let's talk, because that's prostitution. Under 18, it is disastrous because it's the same guys. It's the same perpetrators, right? So you're not – it's like birds of a feather. You know, these guys hang. They don't change the – you know, they don't change. And so they're going to go after children. And then we're talking about, you know, just what's happening with – When a child gets moved state to state, these guys are smart. Steve, they're not stupid. These are smart. This is highly intellectual. This is not some random guy saying, I'm going to kidnap a kid today, and what do I do? It's organized. People join. It's like joining a gang. It's like joining a drug gang. You're a minor league ball trafficker, and you want protection. You join a syndicate, and you get protections. You move from state to state. There's certain motels that's in your network. We know that Backpage.com, thankfully we got that thing shut down, but was completely aiding and abetting, helped write code, literally code to where young girl, you don't say young girl, it's numbers and figures and code.
That's so ridiculous.
I mean, there's a system that these guys can subscribe to that actually helps them.
Follow Yako on Twitter. It's important. At Booyens Yako, BOOYENSJACO. 8daysfilm.org is the website. It starts with Women and Sex Nation, two books by Yako Booyens. You can pre-order those. Your sister has a book and a workbook out that are very important as well. I would suggest if you go to Yako's social media or 8daysfilm or the website, everything is linked through those, right?
Yes, correct. They can find everything. Ilanka is my sister's name. They can find her story. You can find a book called Made in America. It's about just this. Look, there's a lot of resource, and not just books, but there's great resource about how to profile, how to be able to see in your community, how to be able to spot a kid that's under duress, how to look at, you know, I always say soccer moms are powerful because you got other people's kids in your car and you listen, you hear conversation, you see change in mood and behavior.
Right.
Just pay attention. Do something, you know, and if there's smoke, there's fire. Don't go be Batman and try and enforce the law, but report it. And as you said earlier, once you report it, follow up. Because unfortunately, you know, there are some guys that are police chiefs that shouldn't be police chiefs because they're aiding and abetting. So you follow up and you press. and you ask the questions until you see a result.
By the way, how is your sister?
Doing well, very well. She's an abolitionist. She's got a great organization that she runs. She's a therapist now. She's helping other young women. She goes into hospital rooms, and actually, I'm talking about moments after these young women are rescued. She's there bedside to start encouraging and ministering, and you know, giving them hope. And
it's really amazing, isn't it? I mean, not just you, but your sister. You walk through the fire like that. You see the worst of human behavior. You would think you'd run to get away from it. And here your sister is helping others, and here you are trying to stop it. So I salute your family.
Yeah, thank you. And Ilonka tried to run. She tried, of course, and this is public, her book and her story is public. She tried to take her own life, and so she definitely tried that route. But once she found true healing, and it's rare that these kids do pull through, She turned to where I am, and we need to stop it. You know, and she's fighting. She's fighting for everybody, and so are you. So you need to know this. So are you. I mean, the radio show, you've been kind, you've been generous with your time on the show and on the podcast. You're making a huge difference because somebody, but just by math.
Yeah, there's people listening right now.
Somebody.
Yeah, that are going to be impacted by this, and that's because
absolutely
Yako Buyens came in, and you're welcome to continue the discussion anytime. It's 8daysfilm.org. Let's start with that and make
Thank
sure you
sir.
Become a part of it. Yako, good luck on the trip. Travel safe, and let's stay in touch.
Thank you.